We left off last time on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and we were up to the last narrow line in the Gemara. So let me just refresh us as to where we were, or where the discussion was. The Mishnah had said that the idol created by a non-Jew, by an Oved Kochavim, is prohibited in any Hana as soon as it is made. If a Jew, however, makes an Avodah Zarah, it's not prohibited until it is actually worshipped. Then, the Avodah Zarah becomes Asur Bana. So the Gemara, up until this point, starting from the two dots on an Alphum and Beis until where we are right now, observes that it's actually a Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. The opinion recorded in the Mishnah is that of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmael believes the exact opposite, that when a non-Jew makes an idol, it remains permitted Bahana'a until it is actually worshipped. When a Jew, however, does it, so then it is prohibited immediately. So we have given the source for Rabbi Yishmael, and now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah to figure out what is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. How does Rabbi Akiva get to his opinion? So, if you look on the last narrow line on the Beis Amud Aleph, for Rabbi Akiva, Avodas kochavim shall oved kochavim de asura miyad minole. How does he know that the non-Jew's idol is prohibited immediately? So Amar Ula, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Pisile Elohehem tisrafun ba'esh. The Torah says that the engraven images of their gods you should burn in fire. And they interpret Pisile, Misha Psalo, as soon as he engraves it, meaning as soon as he makes it and shapes it, Nase Eloah, it becomes a god, and that means Psile Elohehem. It makes it a god, and obviously then, Tisrafun Ba'esh, you have to destroy it. So Misha Psalo Nase Eloah. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. The Idach, what does Rabbi Yishmael do with the Pasuk? Psile Elohehem Tisrafun Ba'esh. Presumably, I think the assumption of the Gemara is that it could have said Psilehem Tisrafun Ba'esh, and we would have understood. What are Psilehem? They're pestles, they're graven images. So what do you learn, according to Rabbi Yishmael, from the fact that it says Psile Elohehem? So, Hahumi Boyle L'chadetani Rabbi Yosef. That Pasuk, he says, is needed for that which Rabbi Yosef taught, the Tani Rabbi Yosef, Minayin L'oved Kochavim She'posel Eloho, Shenemar Psile Elohehem Tisrafun Ba'esh. So we have been working with an assumption for the most part until now, an assumption we're not really going to challenge, that it is possible for an Avodah Zarah, once it's become an Avodah Zarah, to be misbatel, to be nullified, and to be mutar hana'ah. And when you think about it, that is somewhat unusual, in the sense that if you have chametz on Pesach, it's asur b'hana'ah. You can be mevatel the chametz before Pesach, so you don't own it. But you can't be mevatel the iser chametz. You have fruit that grew on a tree. You have fruit that grew on a tree, and the first 3 years is orla. You can't be mevatel the iser of orla. So what does it mean to be mevatel avodah zarah? We assume that you can. So presumably, even though we say that there's no such thing as hekdesh for avodah zarah, that if a goy consecrates something but doesn't actually worship it, he consecrates an object for avodah zarah, then it's not usher yet. So we dealt with that a little bit last week. So nonetheless, the way Avodah Zarah gets its Kedusha is not through a physical act per se, but it's sort of an act of intentionality. There's some type of kavana, there's some type of machshava, some type of thought that goes into actually making it an idol. It's not the physical action per se, and just as, in effect, it can be yored, we might, to borrow an expression from Tuma Vitara, from ritual impurity, just like it's yored l'tuma through machshava, so in this case it's ola mituma m'machshava. It can descend to that state and can be removed from that state. Or in the same way, slightly different way, if you have an animal, or if an object that is dedicated to Hekdesh, you can redeem it. So there's no pidyon by Avodah Zarah, or not in the classic sense. We did actually see a discussion on this, and I think it will come up again. But as a general rule, you can't give money to the Avodah Zarah, and in exchange have the object be Yotze Lechulin, and no longer be Avodah Zarah. But there is certainly, by Hekdesh, there is an idea that you give money, and the Kedusha is removed. So it's conceivable that something that gets its Kedusha, or in this case, its Isser Hana, through a type of, say, human not action, but human intentionality, that it also is removed. So Rabbi Yishmael says, from the term psilei Elohehem, you have sheposel aloha, that a goy can be mevatel his avodah zarah. So then, okay, so what is Rabbi Akiva is going to use the pasuk of psilei Elohehem to teach you that Misha Pisala, from when he engraved it, it's Asarbana, from where will he learn Rabbi Yosef's din, that a goy can nullify his avodah zarah? V'idach nafkalon mid Shmuel. He learned it from Shmuel. The Shmuel Rami Ksiv. Shmuel Rami means to present a contradiction. He said there's a contradiction in the pasuk. It's actually kind of amusing. Lo sachmod kesef v'zahav aleihem. It says you're not allowed to covet the gold and silver that is upon the avodah zarah that you inherit in the land. And then Ksiv, it says v'lakach talach. You may take it for yourself. Now, this is a very funny kind of contradiction, because where are these two psukim? How far are they apart? It's the same pasuk. Literally, it's the same sentence. The Torah says, "Lo sachmod kesa v'zahav aleihem v'lokach talach." The Torah is telling you, the Pshat is telling you, do not covet upon the gold and silver that is upon them, so that you should take them for yourself. It's not two separate statements. Lo sachmod kesa v'zahav v'lokach talach. No, it's literally the same sentence. It's telling you what you shouldn't do. So nonetheless, and a very clever, there is, I don't know what the grammatical term is, but sometimes you have subordinate clauses that behave a little funny, and Shmuel is deliberately trying to sort of interpret this in such a fashion. So, in other words, it should have said, Lo sachmod kesef ezav alehem, velo sikach lecha. Instead, it says, v'lokach talach. We all understand what the pshat is. Nonetheless, because of that seemingly syntactic oddity, so he says there's a contradiction. Are you not allowed to covet and take it? Or is it permissible to take it? Nobody, by the way, says it's a mitzvah. Nobody says it's one of the taryad mitzvahs. Now, it's 640 mitzvahs. V'lokach talach. It's a mitzvah to take it for you. No. But he says, how do you resolve the contradiction? Ha-ketzad. Pisolo le'eloa. If he engraves it to be a god, lo sachmo, then you're not allowed to covet it and take it. Pisolo me'eloa, if he invalidated it from being a god, then melakach talach. Okay, the Gemara doesn't feel the need to explain how Rabbi Yishmael would darshan that pasuk, because it's pretty obvious. You could say, by the way, and I'm reluctant to say this, but if you think in sort of a very pilpul type way, there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. I don't know if it's ever it probably is somewhat explicit, but the Gemara takes it and treats it as a very broad principle. Whether or not we say Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nai Adam, that the Torah speaks in the normal way of people, in which case, even if you have a word that seems to be extra, you don't interpret it, you don't darshan it, because that's the way the Torah speaks in human language. Or, like Rabbi Akiva, who would say that you don't say Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nai Adam, and therefore every word that you could have done without, even though that's the normal way people would have written, you darshan anyway. The classic example, which as far as I know is not explicitly stated as Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, but about 20 places in Shas, the Gemara assumes this. There is this machlokas, is when you have the double language in Biblical Hebrew of infinitive absolute plus regular verb, like V'haya im shamoa tishme'u, or shamor tishmerun, all those things where you have what's called an infinitive plus the finite verb, which is the style of Biblical Hebrew. So if the Torah says, for example, Nason titein lo, so the King James Bible would translate, ye shall surely, right, give him. It's meant for emphasis of some kind, but that's the style of Biblical Hebrew. So take that as an example, which is probably one of the most interesting examples of these drushas. So there's a question of, if someone doesn't have money, there's a mitzvah to give them tzedakah. Nason titein lo. But what if a person has money, and yet they refuse to spend it on themselves? The question is, can Beis Din support them from tzedakah, and then when they die, take it out of the estate? Of course, you don't tell the person that, because otherwise they won't take the money. But in other words, this is a person, obviously, who has some type of more psychological issue. Are you obligated? Is there a mitzvah tzedakah in that case? And the Gemara says it depends upon the machlokas of nason titein lo. How do you interpret that? If you read it as double, then nason titein lo, the pshat, is just for the person who's a genuine ani, who has nothing. You're obligated to support the person. But what if the person yesh lo, the eino rotze lisparnes, he has, but he doesn't want to spend it. So one sheet that says nason titein lo, the double language, you have to support him. And the other sheet that says no. So you have machlokas, a number, probably close to 20 places in Shas, where you have a discussion of this double language. And it depends whether you include an additional something depends upon whether you say Dibra Torah Kalasha Me Adam, that the Torah just speaks in the way, the normal way, and you don't make anything of it, or in fact, if you want to call it the principle of omnisignificance, that every word in the Torah is there to teach you something. So since the Torah could have just said titain lo, or nasatolo, and instead it says nason titain, therefore you darshan two separate things. So one could have said that in this case, the drash of los achmod kesef az alahem, v'lokach talach, well, that's Rabbi Akiva l'shitaso. And Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara doesn't ask, what would Rabbi Yishmael say about this? Because we know Rabbi Yishmael would say, Dibra Torah kelashon b'nei Adam. Okay. So now the Gemara says, v'Rabbi Akiva, Ashkechon avodas kochavim shall obeit kochavim da asura miyad. So now we know that a goy, when he makes an avodah zara, it's asur immediately, because pisile Elohim, mishepsalo nase eloa. However, the Yisrael, ad shete oveid binalan, but how does Rabbi Akiva know the reverse for a Jew? Right, how does he know that when a Jew makes an avodah zara, it's only asur if they worship it? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kra, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amara says there's a pasuk, Visam basaser, and he puts it in secret. So this is the pasuk, the end of the pasuk that we quoted in the previous section. It's the first of the 11 curses that the Torah describes that they should enunciate on Har Evil. Arur ha'ish asher yaseh fesalu masecha tovas Hashem. Cursed be the person who shall make an engraven image or a port image, which is the abomination of God. Maseh yedei harash, the work of a craftsman. Visam basaser, and he puts it in secret, which, by the way, all of those 11 curses are things that are typically either normally done in private, or the Torah says when you do it in private. It says Makei Re'ehu Basaser, when you kill someone in private, as opposed to kill them publicly. But most of the others are like Arayos, which are usually done in private, and so on. So it says V'sam Basaser, he places the idol in some private place. What is that he's doing in private? So the Gemara says, Ad sheyaseh lo dvarim shebeseser. It means it's only Arur ha'ish sheyaseh fesel umasecha when he does v'sam basaser, when he does what he would do secretly, quietly, privately, which is to worship it. The idach, Rabbi Yishmael, what does he do with that? Why doesn't he say then that a goy's avodah zarah is only usur once a Jew's only usur once it's worshipped? He says, Ahumi boy le'lechad Rabbi Yitzchak. He needs it for Rabbi Yitzchak's din. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin la'avodas kochavim she'Yisrael she'teuna geniza. How do you know that the avodah zarah of a Jew requires being hidden away? It's asar bana and has to be nignaz. We usually think of geniza for Torah scrolls and so on and so forth. But geniza, ganaz is, I think it's actually a Persian root, if I'm not mistaken. It first comes in Divrei Hayamim. I think like storehouses are called ganzakov. It's become a Hebrew word, obviously. It's become assimilated into a three-letter root. To be gonaz is to hide something, or to store it away. So geniza can be for something that has kedusha, or it could be for something that's asur bahana. It doesn't matter what.
How come for guys about Azara, we said you had to put in Yam HaMelech? You know, you had to. It was much more than a simple geniza. You had to dispose of it, dissolve it, not just hide it away whole.
No, the assumption in that case is only. Firstly, that's a case where you can't do bittul. That's not a goy's avodah zarah per se. It can either be a Jew's avodah zarah there.
Yeah.
And the case is there, in fact, it's not even clear. It could be either, or a goy's where you weren't able to do bittul. But that is a form of geniza, in effect. Geniza doesn't have to be, and there's no mitzvah burying in the ground in a particular place. That's not, geniza
no,
means to be.
This would even would be enough, that you'd think that maybe just burying it wouldn't be enough, that you have to go.
Well, the concern by probably burying it is that somebody's going to find it and take it. That's all. So, but in principle, it's Tohu Geniza. It needs to be put away. The Braisa here, or Rabbi Yitzchak here, is not talking about how you do the Geniza. It could be you have to take it to the Yam HaMelech. Shenemar, Visam basaser. In other words, aruha isha sheyaseh fesu l'masaycha tovas Hashem asay yidei charash. And what happens if he did it? Visam basaser. You're supposed to be gonesed. That's what you're supposed to do. Again, another kind of funny splitting of the pasuk. Ve'idach, and where does Rabbi Akiva learn that it requires geniza? Nafka lemid Rav Chista. He learns where Rav Chista learned it. Amarav. The Amarav Chista Amarav. Minayin lavodes kochavim sheyisrael shatunum geniza. Shenemar lo sitalacha asherah kol eitz. Eitzel mizbach. The Torah says you're not allowed to plant for yourself an asherah of any tree next to the mizbeach of Hashem. Chazal, of course, understand that it only doesn't only refer to an asherah tree, because you wouldn't only prohibit planting an asherah tree next to the mizbeach. Chazal understand that if someone plants a tree in the Har HaBayis, they violate the Saveret. Not for Avodah Zarah, but because it says asherah, so therefore Rabbi Akiva, Rav Darshan, so Rabbi Akiva would follow this. Ma mizbeach Ta'un geniza, just as the mizbeach, if it is not usable anymore, requires geniza because it's aser bahana. So af asherah tu'una geniza. He also learns that. So from the hekesh between asherah and mizbeach, Rabbi Akiva learns when that asherah with the zara requires geniza.
When
what
is the mizbeach ta'un geniza?
Why?
When?
If it is somehow not usable anymore, we're going to see on daf on Amud Beis. On Beis Amud Beis, we're going to have the example. If the Greeks defiled the mizbeach, and they brought Karbanos Tavodah Zarah on it, so then it might require Geniza. V'idach, okay, so what does Rabbi Yishmael do with the Hekesh, with the comparison, or the juxtaposition of Asherah and Mizbeach? Hahu mibayin lecha de Reish Lakish. The Amei Reish Lakish, kol hamami dayan she'eno hagun, ke'ilu notea Asherah b'Yisrael. Anyone who appoints a judge who is not qualified, which probably means not only a judge in the classic sense, someone appoints a rabbi who's not qualified, someone appoints a position, person to a position of communal leadership who is not qualified to do the job, it's as if they had planted an asherah. Shenemar, the beginning of the parasha, Shoftim v'shotrim titen l'cha b'chal sharecha. The opening three psukim of parasha Shoftim are about the appointment of judges. The samachle, right next to that, is lo sita l'cha asherah kaleitz. It's as if you had planted an asherah tree. And Amar Rav Ashi, here's the catch, here's the line. Uvamakom talmidei chachamim. If he appointed someone who's unqualified to be a judge, when there are people who are qualified to be the judges, there are talmidei chachamim who are qualified, so then ke'ilu nita'o eitzel mizbeach. It's not only it's like he planted an asherah tree, it's worse. It's like he planted an asherah tree in the Beis HaMikdash right next to the mizbeach. Shenemar eitzel mizbach. Okay. The Gemara in Sanhedrin.
If there's no one available, then it might be okay.
So if there's no one available, so then that's a different story. There is an interesting Gemara. If you, Reish Lakish was Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law. But Reish Lakish, remember, started out life as a brigand, you might call it, a bandit. And Reish Lakish had a very not a very short fuse, and he didn't suffer fools easily. He did not like the patriarchate, because he thought they were corrupt and they appointed people who weren't appropriate. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, quoting this, you know, tells this wonderful story where basically he took one of these dayanim, you know, who was totally unqualified and tried to get him to speak in public, and the person didn't know anything. And then Reish Lakish gave up, quoted not this pasuk, but he quoted a different pasuk of people who set up idols of gold and silver, and basically said that's the, he says it's not they set up idols of gold and silver, it's gold and silver allow people to set up idols, because the patriarchate had power and money, they were able to appoint incompetent judges. Not in that story, but we know from passages, I think in the Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Yochanan was often having to try to play the peacemaker between his brother-in-law and the Nasi, because Reish Lakish was intemperate, and Rabbi Yochanan was trying to prevent trouble from happening. But anyway, this is the one of the drashas that Reish Lakish quoted, because he didn't take kindly to the appointments of the Nasi.
That might be happening today again.
Why would that surprise one?
Isn't there something where either Reish Lakish killed someone with his words, or vice versa, because of that intemperance?
No, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was responsible for Reish Lakish's death. And there's a Gemara in the
because he kept recalling his...
I don't remember what prompted. I know there's a story in Tainus, I think Aftes, where Reish Lakish's son, his orphan son, you know, was starting to question Rabbi Yochanan, and his mother came along quickly, said, get out of here, because before he does to you what he did to your father. So we've got the story, this is a certain kind of rabbinic type story, you know. The glare, the angry glare of the Talmud Chacham. So there are a number of stories like this, but I forget, I don't remember what the Maisa was, that Rabbi Yochanan...
When does a sword become a sword? You have to put it in water first. After you forge it, why do you have to dip it in water? So he told Rav Shlakish, you know about swords.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you would know about swords, wouldn't you? Something like that.
But why did he?
He wouldn't accept Rabbi Yochanan's position.
Okay.
Anyway.
So this is one of the things that Reish Lakish got a little bit upset about and created a little trouble, right? Okay, you know. So now the Gemara continues. Boy Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna asked a question. Seems like a simple question, but not so simple. Ritech kli la'avodes kochavim mahu. So what does ritech mean? So Rashi says that you had a kli which was partially broken, meaning it was bent out of shape, and he pounded on it with a hammer until he straightened everything out. And he did that so that the kli could be used for Avodah Zarah purposes. Now, what this sounds like is Mishamshe Avodah Zarah.
Right.
In other words, he's making a kli he's making an incense burner to be used in sacrificial rites for Avodah Zarah. So, given where we are, the question, at least at first glance, as the Gemara will observe, would seem to be, we know that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva each have an opinion as to when you make an Avodah Zarah, a Jew or a guy, when does it become Aser? And each one says one becomes Aser immediately and one becomes Aser only when you worship it. So the question is, what is the status of Mishamshe Avodah Zarah? When you make an item, not into an Avodah, an idol itself, but you make it so as to use for idol worship, to assist in the process of idol worship. Now, there's one logical argument we can certainly make immediately in answering the question partially, which is that presumably Mishamshe Avodah Zarah cannot be more stringent than Avodah Zarah itself. In other words, let's say your position happens to be that when a guy makes an Avodah Zarah, it's not usur until he worships it, then certainly if he makes Mishamshe Avodah Zarah, it's not usur until he uses it. That's a reasonable argument. Now, it could be that even if you hold that if a guy makes an idol, it becomes usur immediately, it could be that Mishamshe Avodah Zarah don't become usur immediately. They're not as severe or stringent as the Avodah Zarah itself. So the Gemara is going to go down this path to explore what exactly, which question are we asking here? What's the scenario? In other words, clearly if you use Mishamshe Avodah Kochavim, when you use them, they're definitely going to be usur at that point. According to Rabbi Akiva, that a Jew's idol is not usur until it's worshipped, then Mishamshe Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael are not usur until they're used. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, the reverse. Now the question is, though, what about, according to Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael is usur as soon as it's made, what about Mishamshe Avodah Zarah? And according to Rabbi Akiva, when you have Avodah Zarah Shel Goy, which is Aser immediately when it's made, what is the din of Mishamshe Avodah Zarah there? So in order to understand where the Gemara goes with this, you have to know that we know the answer to one of those two questions. If you go back to the Gemara that we learned last week, where the Gemara first taught us the din of how does Rabbi Yishmael know that a Goy's Avodah Zarah is not Aser until it's worshipped, and Rabbi Akiva's response to Rabbi Yishmael, you see that they both agree. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that Mishamshe, even though Rabbi Akiva says that a goy's Avodah Zarah is usur immediately, he agrees that the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah are not usur until it's used. If you look at the...
But this has been used already.
No.
This implement had already been used.
Not for Avodah Zarah.
Just being restored.
For right now in the Gemara's assumption, it's not. He has a kli that's just been damaged, and he decides, I'm going to fix this kli. You know what? I'm going to make it really nice, and we're going to use it for Avodah Zarah. So if you go back for a moment to Nun Aleph Amud Beis, after the Mishnah, after the second Mishnah, by the two dots, When the Gemara said Mas Nisan, Mani Rabbi Akivi, our Mishnah that says that a Jew's Avodah Zarah is only Asar when it's worshipped, but a Goy's Avodah Zarah is Asar immediately, is Rabbi Akiva. D'tanya, Abeit Abadunes Kol HaMekomos Asher Avdusham HaGoyim. So what do you do with that? The Gemara said, "Bekelim shenishtamshu behem lavodas kochavim akasa medaber." Right? It can't be the avodas are themselves because that's the ground, and the ground is at Nesar. So Rabbi Yishmael, whose words these are, which we're going to see in a moment, Rabbi Yishmael says that the Torah is talking about mishamshe avodas zara. So yachol asaum velo gemarum, gemarim velo heviyum, heviyum velo nishtamshu behem, yachol yehu asurim. You might think that it's asur even when you make it before you've used it. So Rabbi Yishmael says, Talmud lomar, asher of dusham hagoyim, she'en osurim, asurim, ad shei avedu. Mikan amru, says Rabbi Yishmael, avodas kolchavim shal oved kolchavim, ein asur ad shei te oved, d'she Yisrael asur miyad. So Rabbi Yishmael says that a goy's mishamshe avodazara, a goy's avodazara is not asur until it's been worshipped, and certainly it's Mishamshe Avodah Zarah. And he learns, really, Mishamshe Avodah Zarah from this pasuk. So the Gemara discusses on the top of our Amud, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, how exactly Rabbi Yishmael learns from Mishamshe Avodah Zarah to Avodah Zarah itself. But in the process, he does, based upon the next words in the pasuk, Asher Atem Yershim Osam Es Elohehem. So another, Asher Avdu Sham HaGoyim, the requirement that a goy have worshipped it applies not only to the kelim, which you use to serve the avodah, worship the avodah zarah with, but even to Elohehem themselves, Es Elohehem. Why does Rabbi Akiva reject Rabbi Yishmael's position? Because he says, Es Hifsika Inyan. S interrupts things. But what does that show you? Rabbi Akiva agrees with the first half. He agrees that Kalim Shenishtam Shubahem Avodas Kochavim, that Misham Shevodah Zarah are only Asur when it's Asher of Dusham HaGoyim. They have to have used it. So there is no debate between anybody about Mishamshe Avodas Kochavim Shel Goy, that they are not Asur, and regardless of when you think the Goy's Avodah Zarah becomes Asur, the Mishamshe are not Asur until they are used. But the question is, according to Rabbi Yishmael, what would the, since he holds that a Jew's Avodah Zarah is Asur immediately, what would the din be of the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah of a Jew? So now the Gemara explains the question. So again, Boy Raham Nuna Riteh Kli Avodas Kochavim Mahu. So the Gemara says, one second, Avodas Kochavim Deman. Who's Avodah Zarah? If it's a goy's avodah zarah, and you want to know if he fixes a kli to now be used to serve the avodah zarah with the kli, bein the Rabbi Yishmael u bein the Rabbi Akiva misham she'avodas kochavim heim u misham she'avodas kochavim of a goy ein asurin ad she'avedu. So that can't be the question. V'ela, it must be avodas kochavim the Yisrael, a Jew's avodah zarah, and we want to know what's the status with the mishamshim. So the Gemara says again, aliba deman. Ilema libid Rabbi Akiva. If the question is, when would Rabbi Akiva say that the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah become Asur? Hashta, he gufa, the Avodah Zarah itself. Lo mitzera, according to Rabbi Akiva, atcha teaved. Mishamshe, mi boy, if Rabbi Akiva believes that the Avodah Zarah Shay Yisrael is not Asur until it's worshipped, certainly the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah. The Ella, aliba the Rabbi Yishmael, the Omar Asura miyat. Rather, it matters according to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that it's Asura as soon as you make the Avodah Zarah. My. Mishamshim mi Mishamshim gamrina? Do we learn Mishamshe Avodah Kochavim Shei Yisrael from Mishamshe Avodah Kochavim Shei Goy? Ma hosam ad shei aveidu ach hoch ad shei aveidu, and it's mutter. Odoma mi noch gomar. You learn Mishamshe Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael from the Avodah Zarah itself Shei Yisrael. Ma hi Asura miyad? Af Mishamshea Asurin miyad. So the Gemara presents that question. It doesn't answer the question. Instead, it says, one second, my area dekami boile ritech kli, ti boile asa. Why are you speaking about fixing a kli? Why don't you just ask, if someone makes a kli to be misham shevo dezara, what is the din? In other words, because if in fact the question we were really asking is when do Misham Shevo Dezara Shei Yisrael become Asur according to Rabbi Yishmael, you should have given the normal case. You should have said Asa Kli. Why you pick fixing a Kli? That would suggest that the underlying question is actually something else. And it has nothing to do with when do Misham Shevo Dezara become Asur, but it has some totally unrelated some unrelated issue that underlies this question. The Gemara itself doesn't answer the question. The question we might ask is there any significance to the question? Okay, the Gemara is going to say this wasn't the question, but it's still a very interesting question. Now, you might say, though, and I'm not saying this of my own accord, I'm saying this because we're going to look at the Ran for a few minutes. You might say, but who cares? Who do we paskin like, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael? So from general Klalei HaPsak, Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechaveiro, number one. You paskin like Rabbi Akiva. When you have a one-on-one, Rabbi Akiva was a great one-on-one player. He always wins. Almost always wins. Number two, the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah, the Mishnah that just anonymizes Rabbi Akiva's opinion, anonymizes Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We normally assume that the Halacha is like the Stam Mishnah. Not always, but again, it's pointing in that direction. And in fact, we do paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So the Ran says, why am I so interested in this question? So the Ran thinks that the following issue, we'll read it in a second, but let me just present it outside. He thinks the following issue is highly significant that emerges from this question. Is there bittul for Mishamshe Avodazar Shal Yisra? The next Mishnah is going to talk about bittul Avodazara. And I've already told you that our Mishnah is going to say there's no bittul for an avodah zarah of a Jew. There is bittul for an avodah zarah of a guy. A guy can be mevatel his avodah zarah and another guy's avodah zarah. But there's no bittul for avodah zarah shal yisra. Now, is there bittul for mishamshe avodah zarah shal guy? The answer is, of course there is. If the guy can be mevatel his avodah zarah itself, certainly the serving pieces he can be mevatel. But the question is, what about the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael? The Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael has no bittul, but maybe that's the only Avodah Zarah, only the Avodah Zarah itself. Maybe the serving pieces, in fact, do have bittul. So that would depend upon, the Ran suggests, do you compare the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael to Mishamshe Avodah Zarah Shal Goy, or do you compare the Mishamshe Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael to the Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael? That's the question.
And is there a bitul by the sheer fact that it's not usable, that you have to repair it? In other words...
No. Let's hold off on that discussion. The Mishnah after the next Mishnah is going to talk about how does a guy mevatel zadar. What would be a sign mevatel? Let's say he walks over and he slaps his avodah zarah. What happens if he hits him with a hammer and he breaks off a piece? The Mishnah and the Gemara will talk about what constitutes bittul. But for the moment, let's just forget the question of riteich, a broken avodah zarah. Let's just talk about the question of mishamshe avodah zarah shei Yisrael. And the Ran says that will depend upon the Gemara's question here. How do you resolve that issue? So even though this issue doesn't matter, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yishmael, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore we know, lahalacha, that mishamshe avodah zarah shel Yisrael and shel Goy, both of them, do not become usur until they've actually been used. But if they have been used, so we know that you can be mevatel, and you need to be mevatel if you want to use it. The guy has to be mevatel, the serving pieces of the Goy's avodah zarah, but will bittul work for the serving pieces of the Jews of the Zaras? If you take a look in the Ran, turn to the back. I think our pagination is the same. So go all the way to the back of the Gemara where you find another Gemara. Looks like our Gemara, but it's not. It's the Rith. And it is on page Chavdalid Amid Aleph, facing page 46.
We don't have numbers.
You do. Oh, this is a fancy bit. Yeah. Facing Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Okay. Facing Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. Okay, it's on Chavdal and Amid Aleph. So if you go to that page, yeah, the art scroll not going to have it, unfortunately. Wait, give them till the next printing. It'll be another reason to buy the next volume. They're going to print the Ran and the Rif in translation. That will be impressive, by the way. Okay. So the Gemara, so the Ran is, if you look in the middle of the page where you see the big print Masnisen, let me make sure. Yes, you have that, okay. And then, let's see if I can find, where does he start it here? So let's start from, I'll start from there, only a few more lines. Avodas kochavim shal ovei kochavim asur miyad. Misha'o, he's probably... Most of the time, by the way, you should be aware, when the Ran quotes the Gemara and just quotes simple explanations, he's almost quoting Rashi verbatim, which is useful because he'll tell you what text of Rashi the Ran had in front of him. So he says, Misha sha'asa l'shem akum, that's when it's asr. As soon as he builds a travo, it's asr. V'shei Yisrael, misha te'aved. Umakninam b'gemara, and dafnun alef amit beis, masnisan k'Rabbi Akiva d'sfiri lehachi, v'Rabbi Yishmael, pala galei, v'amar, Chiluf advarim. Rabbi Shmuel says the exact opposite. Davodis kochavim shall oved kochavim. Eina asura ad shete oved. V'shal Yisrael asura miyad. And then he says, V'chol chad minayhu muchach svarei mikroi bigmara. Each one proves his position from various psukim. Mihu, however, kulhu modu, the mishamshe avodas kochavim da oved kochavim, einam asurim ad shei avedu. Everybody agrees that the mishamshim of a goy, of avodah zarah of a goy, are not asur until they are worshipped. Ki di alfina megemara, the gemara derives. Da liba de Rabbi Yishmael, but according to Rabbi Yishmael, the amar avodas kochavim shei Yisrael asur miyad, yalef mikra, the mishamshe avodas kochavim da oved kochavim, einam asurim ad shei avedu. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, who learns that avodas kochavim Yisrael is asur miyad, but also learns that Misham Shei Avodas Kochavim and Avodah Zarah Shel Goy are only Asurim when they worship, Misap Golan Bigamara, Misham Shei Avodas Kochavim the Yisrael, Igamrina Lehum Misham Shem David Kochavim? Do we learn the Misham Shem of Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael from the Misham Shem, from the serving pieces of the Avodah Zarah Shel Goy, the Mahosam Ad Shei Avedu, Hachanami Ad Shei Avedu, only when they're worshipped, O Dilma, Mina Gamar, you learn it from the Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. Mahi Asur Miyad? Af Misham She'anami Asur Miyad. So that's what the Ron says. He said the Gemara has a suffix about that. V'af Algav Dilididan D'Kaimalan K'Rabbi Akiva Uchestam Masnisan Lo Nafka Lan Midi Mehach Baye. There's no Nafka Mina for us, because we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, like the Stam Mishnah. D'Chevan D'Iyu Amar D'Shay Yisrael Ad She'Teyoved V'islan mikroi the mishamshin davodas kochavim enam asurim ad sheyavedu. Rabbi Akiva number one holds that a Jew's avodah zarah is only usher when it's worshipped. Number two, he holds that a goy's avodah, the mishamshim of the avodah zarah of a goy, are also only asurim once they're used. Leka l'sapuke klal b'misham sheha. There's no suffix about the mishamshim of a Jew's avodah zarah. The bain the Yisrael bain davodas kochavim en asurim ad sheyavedu. No nafkamina. Doesn't matter, they're only also once they're worshipped. But for Afal Pikain, even so, Kisavtiha, I wrote about this, Mishum de'ika lemiboy acharisi kayotze b'kba. Because there is another question that you can ask that is similar to this, that emerges from this. The kamiboy le Rambanzal, the Ramban had a question. Dumya d'achbaya, something similar. Namely, Misham she'avodas kochavim de Yisrael, yesh lahem bitul o ein lahem bitul. He didn't want to know when Misham she'avodas kochavim shei Yisrael become aser. That's clear. They only become aser once they're used. But once they're used, does bitul work on them? Because bitul doesn't work on the avodah zarah shei Yisrael. So what about Misham she'avodas zarah shei Yisrael? On the other hand, bitul does work on Misham she'avodas zarah shei avodas kochavim. So do you compare, once again, Misham shim to Misham shim, or shel Yisrael to shel Yisrael? De'i amrinan de mishamshim mishamshim davodas kochavim gamrinan ma hasam yeshlam bitul hachanami yeshlam bitul o dilma no mina gamrinan ma hasam ein lahem batol ala olam ki demuchachinan mikra begemara that avodah zarah shel Yisrael is never batel hachanami ein lahem batel ala olam. That was the question the Ramban had. Now the Ramban is now going to quote, Ron's going to quote a proof of one of the Rishonim. He's going to reject it. I just want to read the proof because it's an interesting proof. The kasa b'shem ha-ravid zal, the ein lahem bitul. The ravid said there's no bitul. You know why? The samach ledavar, the hint to this, is sharei amra Torah v'nitatz temes mizbechosam. The Torah tells us that you have to smash the mizbechos of the Canaanites. So I'm not going to read further than the Ram, but I want to explain what the Rai is. We haven't gotten there yet, but the Gemara, the basic question, we touched upon this a while ago, I think. Why were the stuff in Eretz Yisrael, like the Asherahs, why were those trees Aser for the Jews to benefit from, if in fact it didn't belong to the Canaanim, because God had given Eretz Yisrael to the Avos? So if you worship something that doesn't belong to you, it doesn't become Aser. So the answer the Gemara is going to give is that no. That's only if the Jew didn't want it worshipped. But when the Jews made the eagle, and they said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael, and even though it may not be Pshat, Elohecha is the plural, The reason it's used as the plural is because Elohim is always in the plural, even though it usually is singular, let's say, with a verb. Eila Elohecha Yisrael, the Gemara says, Melamed She'ivu Lohem Elohos Harbe. They desired for themselves at that moment many gods. They wanted an orgy for Avodah Zarah, because at that time they were so attached to Avodah Zarah, it was the more the merrier. And in doing so, they effectively gave their approval to the Canaanites worshipping the materials that belonged to the Jews, that happened to be in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they became Aser Bano. So one of the things the Torah tells us, the Rabbi points at, is you have to smash the Mizbechos. Now, the fact that the Torah says you have to burn, why did the Torah say you have to burn the Asherah trees? Why didn't they just have a guy be mevatalit? You know, they captured the Givonim before they got them to be mekabel sheva mitzvahs, where they were still over there with the Zerah. They should have put a sword to their head and said, be mevatal these other Zerahs. Be mevatal all the Asherahs in there to sell so we can use them. Be mevatal all the Mizbechos. So the answer is, because Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael has no bittul. So the question is, yeah, but the Torah says, smash the altars. Now, the Ravid says, presumably, they didn't worship the altars, they worshipped on the altars. A Mizbeach should be a classic example of Meshamshei Avodah Zarah. So why did the Torah command us to smash the Mizbechos? It should have just said, have a goy be mevatel the Mizbechos. Okay, the Avodah Zarahs themselves, I understand, because that's like Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, and there's no bittel. But Meshamshei Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael should be mutter after bittel. So the Ravid says, you see from that, that Meshamshei Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael has the same din as Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. And just like there's no bittel by Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, there's no bittel by Meshamshei Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. That was the proof that the Ravid brings. The Ran disagrees. It's not entirely clear why he thinks the Ravid's proof isn't a good proof. But nonetheless, I think what's more interesting is the Ran's concern of why the Gemara's question is actually material, even though we reject Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Akiva, all Meshamshim are only Aser once you actually use them for idolatry. But nonetheless, the question of where you derive Meshamshei Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael from is actually very material, according to Rabbi Akiva, whom we paskin like, because we want to know whether the Meshamshim have bittul or not. And that will depend upon whether you learn Meshamshim from the Avodah Zarah itself or Meshamshim from Meshamshim. Marshall?
Just for the record, in the fight about the sword of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, yes, they both died. Rabbi Yochanan
died out of, like, kind of a broken heart or something like that.
Right there.
Right.
So, Reish Lakish died. They sent Rav Elazar ben Pedat to try to console
Rabbi Yochanan,
his new study partner, and he said, you're like enough.
Right. You couldn't answer Reish Lakish. You tell me everything is good, and I say as far, you say wonderful. Reish Lakish would ask me 24 questions, and then a halacha would be misbar.
And then Rabbi Yochanan went out of his mind,
and the rabbis prayed for him, and he died. Where's the Ksubas? Okay. Okay, thank you. See, that's a problem when I mention a story and you get distracted. Right, you got to track down the story.
Where
Reish Lakish got angry at him.
The sword. They were talking about when steel gets tempered, and Reish Lakish said, "Well, you were the brigand. You know all about swords." And he said, "There they called me master, and now here they call me master." That Reish Yochanan said, you know, essentially, I'm the one that brought you to the screen. And he reminded him of his Baal Shuvah this and embarrassed him in the Beis Midrash.
Is that the base why you don't remind about?
No, you don't remind about tshuva because that's an isser of ona asdarim. Uh-huh. Right? The Mishnah says that, you know, you don't say to a ger zechor masa avosecha. Right. It's the same thing. So that's not because the story, but okay.
Just proves.
Yeah.
Chazal took the issue of Onas Devar very seriously. The story, many of you probably know the story of Tanur or Shalachnai, and the parable is Chayim, but not everybody knows the end of the story. And actually, it's very relevant. Tachanun, people don't realize, everybody likes to kill Tachanun. Tachanun is the most hated tefillah in the world. But Tachanun is actually, in some ways, it's part of Shmon Esrei, it's the end of the tefillah. Right? In other words, we say the Kaddish after Tachanun because, and really you're not supposed to be mafsik between between the Amida, we have the Chazar Sashatz, but the Tachanun is really the appendage to it. And Tachanun really is a request from God to avenge one for one's enemies. But the Gemara says, if you just read the Mizmar that we read from Tilim, Perek Vav. So the Gemara says that after they excommunicated Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer was married to Rabbi Gamliel's sister. And she was every day she went out of her way to cause Rav Elezer to be mafsik between his Shmoneh Esrei Tishrei, obviously davening alone because he was in Chayrim, he didn't have a minyan, he couldn't be there, and his Tachanun, because she was by being mafsik between the Shmoneh Esrei and the Tachanun, you break the power of the Tachanun as an efficacious tefillah. So every day she would make sure to do that because she was afraid that he would say Tachanun and God would punish her brother. Because of Onas Dvarim. And one day someone came to the door when it was the time, and she wasn't able to be mafsik, and Rabbi Gamaliel died. So, forgetting about I'm not talking about the factuality, if you want to call that story, but it tells you how Chazal related to the Isser of Onas Dvarim. They took it really, really seriously, of inflicting emotional pain upon someone else. So, okay. It also, by the way, similarly, people don't realize this, when someone gets up and says that you suffered, you know, you were punished because you did X and Y, Z, that's an Issur D'oraisa of Onas Dvarim. The Gemara, it's not in the Mishnah, the quote of Tosefta. How do you know that you're not allowed to say to someone like Eov's friends said to him? Eov's friends, in their dialogue with him, and say, for Eov said, it's your sins that caused your suffering. Eov said, I didn't do anything wrong. And they said, no, you're a sinner, you do tshuva and so on. That's an example that Tosefta says of Onas Dvarim.
But he didn't respond.
If you're a Navi, you get to say that because God tells you. If you're a rabbi, you don't. What can I say? You know, as I like to say, Aaron, the way our tefillah, the problem is some people don't understand that the nusach ha-tefillah is umipnei chato'enu galinu me'artzenu, not umipnei chato'echa galinu me'artzenu. But okay, fine. All right, so now we come back to the Gemara, and our problem, of course, is that you got the question wrong. The question can't be, it's a very valid question, what would Rabbi Yishmael hold about Meshamshei Avodah Zarah, when do they become us, or Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael? But that's not our question. That wasn't the question Raman was asking. He asked retechnically. So here, the Gemara says the following. Rav Hamnuna Mishum Tuma Yishana Kami Boile. So here, I need to give a little bit of background to this. What is Tuma Yishana? Old Tuma. So the halacha, in general, when you study the laws of Kalim and ritual impurity, Tuma that comes to Kalim, is that a Kli is a Makabal Tuma, something that is not a Kli is not Makabal Tuma, which has ramifications on two ends. Number one, before the process of completing the Kli is done, a Kli that will eventually be Makabal Tuma by dint of its shape, material, substance, whatever else, is not Makabal Tuma until you have Gemar Malacha, until it's relatively complete. Different materials have different stages. Pottery is one stage, metal is another stage, etc. Until the Kli is completed sufficiently, it's not Makabal Tuma. If you have a Kli that already is Makabal Tuma, it's susceptible, or if it's Tummy, it doesn't really matter at this point, and you render the Kli unusable, you break it, then it is no longer Makabal Tuma, and if it had Tuma already, it had become Tame, the Tuma goes poof. The one place you see this in the Torah is specifically by one type of a Kli, which actually there's no way to be Metaher. Putting in the mikvah doesn't do you any good. And that is Kli Cheres. What do you do with earthenware Kalim? The Torah in Parsha Shmini says, Tanur v'chirayim yutats. They have to be smashed. In fact, the story of Tanur Shalachnai, that Rabbi Eliezer, most people know the story, but not so many people know what the machlokos was about. It was a series of machlokos, but this was the one, the straw that broke the camel's back. Tanur Shalachnai was a device, or a way of building a tanur that was designed in order to prevent it from being makabel tuma, to make your life easier. And basically, it was taking a tanur of cheres, cutting it into rings, and then placing chol, sand, between each of the chulyos. I don't remember if you did anything on the outside. And the question is, was that makabel tuma or not? Rabbi Eliezer said no, and the Chacham said yes, and that was the last machlokas. It was called Tanuro Shel Achnai. So if you break the oven, it's no longer Mekabel Tuma. If somehow you rebuild the earthenware oven, it might or might not be, depending on how you reconstruct it. If you didn't put it back in the kivshan, in the furnace, in the kiln, it may never be Mekabel Tuma again until you put it back in the kiln, because now it's a new kli. Okay. Now, other kinds of kalim, obviously, you can break and you can refashion. So if you take a metal clay or a glass clay, you can melt them down and then you can reshape them. I'm going to leave aside glass for the moment. Glass is tuma, is only midrabban in the first place. Glass is a material that is not makabal tuma minatora. Minatora, as a rule, the only things that are makabal tuma are earthenware, metal, and maybe only the six or seven metals mentioned in Tanakh, maybe not aluminum, possibly. Clothing, wooden kalim, sackcloth, which I think for them was made from notes of Shalizim, from goat hair, and earthenware. I said chayrus already. That's pottery, and ore, hide, made from leather.
Bias.
What's that?
Bias. A house.
No, that's nige batim is a very unique din. That's not a kli. In terms of kalim, those are the materials that are makabel tuma. A glass is not makabel tuma in HaTorah, those are the materials that the Torah mentions that are makabel tuma. Each has sort of its different rules. But the question is, what happens if you melt the kli down, you break it down, and then you rebuild it? So the halacha is that when it comes to metal kalim, which are the primary case that you can do it, glass, we don't worry about tum. Glass, there's tumah min derabanan, but there's no tumah yishana. If you melt the glass down and refashion it, it's not only tar when you melt it down, it's tar when you refashion it. But metal, the Mishnah in kalim says that if you melt metal down, the metal is tahar. But if you take that metal and you refashion it into another vessel, the tumah pops back. If you mix two different metals, you melt down two kalim, one's tar, one's tameh, you mix them together, you follow a robe. If the robe of the metal was from the tameh kli, then the new kli you make out of this is tameh, if not, it's tar. The din of tumah yishana is only a din derabanan. Minat Torah, once you melt that kli down, once the kli is unusable as a kli, it is no longer mekabel tumah. But midaraisa, but midrabanan, they instituted tumah yishana. Why? The Gemara and Shabbos, Rashi quotes one of them, the Gemara and Shabbos actually offers two different reasons. One is because they were afraid that people would say that tvila, going to the mikvah, works even without harev shemesh. In other words, normally, if you have a kli with a regular tumah, all you need to do is put it in the mikvah and wait till sundown. But let's say you can't wait. You have a big party going on, and you want to use your sterling silver for the party, and you know, but it's tameh, what am I going to do? So, you know what, instead of going to the mikvah, and the party's at 5:30, so, and shkia's not till 8:30, so what am I going to do? So I send my servants, go melt the kalim down and refresh, pour them back into the mold, and we'll have new sterling silver, and it should be tahar. But people are not going to realize that your sterling silver, in fact, they're going to think you put it in the mikvah, and that once you put it in the mikvah, it's tahar, you don't have to wait for Harav Shemesh. When in reality, the reason why you don't, in this case, have to wait for Harav Shemesh, is because you destroyed the kli and you remade it, so it's a new kli. So therefore, they made a gzeira that tumah yishana, that the tumah pops back into it. The other possibility, the Gemara tells a story of Heleni Hamalka, where she needed to make a party, and this is specifically about one kind of tumah, which is tumas meis. Because you see, Harav Shemesh is not so long to wait for. But if your kalim become tumas meis, you might have to wait an entire week in order to be able to use them. So that's what Heleni Hamalka, I think, did, and the Chachamim decided afterwards they were afraid of Shema tishtachach toras mechatas miYisrael. If you allow a person to go melt down a kli which is tameh, and refashion it, nobody's going to bother to use for the kelim the water and the afer of the paraduma, because they'll just use this other solution. It seems a little bit of a stretch, because most people don't have the capacity or the resources. It's much cheaper to wait the week than it is to melt down and refashion your stuff. But be it as it may, that's what the Gemara says. So there is a din de rabbanon of tuma yishana. So the Gemara here suggests that in fact what Rav Hanuna was asking is, what is the status when it comes to a kli of Avodah Zarah that's also Mishum Avodah Zarah? And remember that Avodah Zarah is Metame. There are different deos how Avodah Zarah is Metame. One opinion in the Mishnah was Avodah Zarah is Metame b'maga over masa, touching and carrying it. But there's a third opinion, Rabbi Huda ben Beseiru, we saw this a while ago, it's Metame even ba'ohel, even if you're under the same roof as the Avodah Zarah. So the question is, what is the din? But those tumos are only the Rabbanan. So the question, in HaTorah, there's no tumah with Avodah Zarah, not tumah of the tumah of Atara. So the question is, what is the status of tumah yishana by tumah of Avodah Zarah? Since the tumah is only a din derabanan, do we say that the gzera of tumah yishana applies there or not, or do we say, in fact, that the gzera of tumah yishana does not apply? So that is what the Gemara says actually is Rav Hamnuna's question, and God willing, next week we'll get to explore what was the answer. Any questions?
Thank you.